New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Matt Brady Show. I'm your host, Matt Brady. What a week of college football. First, before we get into all the big games, breaking them down, I just want to say good job and kudos to college football, the NCAA networks, for making the right decision in moving the Sugar Bowl between Georgia and Notre Dame because of the terrorist attack. I think it's the right decision. Everything turned out fine. You're going to have to deal with a little bit of scheduling conflicts in the next week. Is Notre Dame going to have as much rest time? It sort of is what it is. I don't think it's really going to be that big of a deal in the long run. You know, I was actually planning on doing these all, you know, yesterday, doing a late night episode. But here we are, you know, just finished the Sugar Bowl with Notre Dame taking care of business against Georgia. And you could really tell that Georgia was missing Carson Beck. And in fact, with him, this game might have been totally different. And that's not to say Gunnar Stockton had a bad game, but just watching them, Georgia to me felt a little flat. And that's really the story of this game. I mean, the special teams by Notre Dame, that kickoff return and then catching Georgia when they shifted from the punt to get a free play, were absolutely massive plays. And you could tell this Georgia team, without Carson Beck, without their captain, leader of their football team, big time quarterback who might go on to have a good to great NFL career. You could tell the whole team just felt like they were missing him, even though Gunnar Stockton had an absolutely massive game. Again, it came down to special teams. Notre Dame just beat Georgia with Riley Leonard rushing the ball and special teams plays. Those were the deciding factors. He had 88 passing yards. I mean, if you told me before this game that Georgia would hold Riley Leonard to 88 yards passing and Pryson Love to 32 yards and 19 yards rushing, I would say Georgia would have won in a landslide. But Riley Leonard on the ground and the special teams won Notre Dame the game, and now they're going to move on to the next round to take on Penn State in the Orange Bowl, and a game that I think is going to be absolutely great. But I was really impressed by Notre Dame's defense because it's Notre Dame. Their schedule is always this hard to really grasp just how good of a team they really are, because they play this schedule of Power Five and Group of Five schools. And it's always hard to tell just how good they are, especially when they lose to a team like Northern Illinois. But if you look at them now, and since that loss to Northern Illinois, they've been pretty dominant in just about everyone they've played. But I think it is going to be a battle that they are going to have against Penn State, because they're going to have to see if they can stop Drew Lear, who I think is probably the most underrated quarterback in college football, and their monster of a tight end, Tyler Warren. Let's stay on this side of the bracket and talk about Penn State versus Boise State. The game, I think, was most predictable. And, you know, congrats to Boise State for a great season. Genty, a Heisman candidate, in my opinion, probably should have been the Heisman Trophy winner. But I think we all just knew that there was no way Boise State was going to be able to go toe-to-toe with Penn State over the long haul of a game. At this point in the season, the Group of Five schools, they just lack the depth of Power Five schools, Power Four schools like Penn State. And that's why I think you go back and you look, and I think it's easy to see early in the season, that's where those Group of Five schools will do better against the Power Five schools, like we saw with Boise State against Oregon, or a Northern Illinois against Notre Dame. So you just haven't gotten into the actual playing of game type experience that you're into now. And at this point in the season, I just don't think that Boise State probably could have beaten any of those Power Five schools. Now, even if this was Boise State that Penn State got a win over, for James Franklin, I think this is still a big win. If you look, I mean, if you think as Ohio State fans, we are always chanting fire Ryan Day at Penn State, James Franklin's really struggled to get some of those big, big, big time wins. I mean, we don't even really view Penn State as rivals because they've only beat us five times in the last 25 years, and he's only beaten us once. Now, this isn't to rag on Penn State, but I think it's just to show how big of a win this was for them, you know, and that win over SMU. And now they're going to move on to play Notre Dame in what should be an excellent game. I actually think both of the semifinal games we're going to get are going to be really good games. Like I said earlier, I think Drew Aleer is extremely underrated and perhaps the most underrated quarterback in college football. He and Warren, who every time I see him on make a play, he just leaps off the screen every time he touches the ball. I think that's going to give the Notre Dame defense a very good competition and probably more than they've actually had all year. I mean, if you look at the resume, it's hard to argue against Notre Dame in this game, and that's why I would actually pick Notre Dame to win. I mean, Penn State beat Illinois, and that's kind of their best regular season win. They lost close to Ohio State and Oregon, and then in the playoffs, they beat SMU and Boise State. But if you look at Notre Dame's resume, it is way better. They beat Texas A&M, Louisville, Army, Navy, Indiana, and now Georgia. Like I said, I think Drew Aleer and Tyler Warren will give Notre Dame a tough challenge, but I don't think Notre Dame can stop Riley Leonard, Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price. I think it's too much for Penn State, and Notre Dame will win that game 27-24. Okay, now Texas, Arizona State. This is the game that I sort of thought, you know, this is going to go one of two ways. One, Texas comes out and just dominates Arizona State. Yeah, I mean, Scataboo is a monster, and he certainly proved it in this game, but he honestly felt like the only weapon they had to take on Texas. Your second way of beating Texas was just hope that Quinn Ewers has a bad game or that Quinn Ewers gets cold, which we've seen from time to time this season. If you can catch Quinn Ewers when he's cold or gives up a turnover, then maybe you could keep up with Texas. Once you get those backs and wideouts going, you look at Texas's weapons with Wisner, Golden, and Blue, and then Ewers gets hot. I think there's just too many weapons for Arizona State to keep up with, and that's exactly what happened. Arizona State held them to 53 yards rushing, which is no small task. I mean, Quinn Ewers had 330 passing yards, three passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. It was just too much firepower for Arizona State to keep up with. But Scataboo, on the other hand, I mean, props to that guy, because he played his absolute heart out. Talk about a heroic performance, and then they give the guy the award for offensive player of the game. I mean, that's just tough to get that and lose. He had 143 yards rushing with two touchdowns, eight catches for 99 yards. He had a 42-yard passing play. He literally touched the ball 39 times. To put up that kind of performance and loss is just absolutely tough, but what a way to go out for your team is all I can say, you know. But ultimately, Texas won, and they're the only SEC team left, and they are going to take on Ohio State. All right, this is the game I really wanted to talk about, not only because I'm an Ohio State fan, but I'm also somebody who lives in Oregon. I went to Autzen for that first game, and Ohio State came out and absolutely destroyed Oregon 41-21. If Ohio State plays like they've played these last 2 weeks, then I'm not even worried about them beating Texas or Notre Dame or Penn State. They will absolutely destroy anybody in their path. And you could say, hey, you know, Ohio State fans chanting fire Ryan Day and all of these things, but it clearly got to them and it clearly worked, because the energy this team has brought these past 2 weeks against Tennessee and Oregon have been totally different than the energy we saw from the Oregon loss to the Michigan loss. Completely different teams. Ohio State came out and they've been running the ball a lot more this season. They felt very cold at times. Will Howard has had turnovers, and we haven't seen any of that these past 2 weeks. Ohio State held Oregon to negative 23 rushing yards. That's absolutely insane. I mean, Dylan Gabriel, he did end up having a pretty good game, 299 yards passing, two touchdowns, but a lot of that sort of came in the second half when you're trying to play catch up. Ohio State's playing a lot looser defense. And actually, if you go back and you look at that touchdown that they got just before the first half, their wide receiver stepped completely out of bounds on the play before the touchdown, and it wasn't called. So you call that back. Maybe Oregon doesn't even get those 8 points, and this feels like an even bigger blowout. I mean, they raced to a 34-0 lead. I mean, it's hard to lose a game when you race to a 34-0 lead. This Ohio State team feels so much different. And this is the kind of thing we expected. We've expected all season these big receivers should be the ones leading the charge. Smith, Abuka, you know, Scott, the tight end. And obviously, Henderson and Judkins are great backs, but it felt like after the Oregon loss, we relied way too heavily on them and we weren't throwing the ball as much. And we were just trying to be more of like a power running team. And then, of course, the defense, since the Oregon loss, has been totally transformed and has really become more the identity of this team, just shutting teams down. And that's what we saw again against Tennessee. It was Ohio State's defense that came out and just prevented Oregon from doing anything. It's one thing to just look at the box score, but if you go back and watch that game, they were just leveling Oregon players. I think there was a lot of times that targeting probably could have been called and wasn't, because they seemed to just let them play in the Rose Bowl, just like the Tennessee game. They raced out to a very early 14-0 lead, and from there, it just felt like it was too much for Oregon to try to overcome. If Ohio State goes on to win the national championship and plays Notre Dame instead of Penn State in the national championship in this season, beaten 6 of the 11 other teams in the playoffs, because they beat Indiana early in, they beat Indiana in the season, they beat Penn State in the season, they've now beaten Oregon, and they beat Tennessee. If they go on to beat Texas and then beat Notre Dame, if Notre Dame beats Penn State, it would be very hard to argue that this Ohio State team isn't one of the best teams ever. And I think they have the motivation and the willpower and the fire to do it, because these last 2 weeks have been totally different. It looks like a totally different team than what we've seen from that stretch of Oregon to Michigan. It was just big play after big play. I cannot remember a game in which the number one team, in which Oregon, a number one team, had this kind of beating put on them. 34-0 going into the half, and then Oregon gets that late touchdown. Again, there's a penalty on it. If you call that play back, it might be 34-0 going into the half. And to me, the biggest change in this season is Jack Sawyer, the defensive end for Ohio State, who has really become, to me, the leader of this defense, the guy who has been making play after play. He's had multiple picks this season, big time sacks, crucial sacks, and he, to me, seems like the guy who's been playing well. Also, Burke, now, if you go back and watch the Oregon game, the one in Autzen, his performance in that game was terrible. I mean, almost every time, if you go back and watch, he got put in single coverage. Oregon was able to take advantage of it. And again, he has tightened up his game and has been much better over the second half of the season. All right, that's enough gushing about my Ohio State team, but let's move on to them versus Texas. I think Ohio State versus Texas depends on both sides of which teams show up. If it's Ohio State like we saw against Nebraska or Penn State or Michigan, then Texas is going to stop them. If it's the other way around, the team that beat Tennessee and the team that beat Oregon, especially considering that Quinn Ewers sometimes can be hot or cold, you know, he's struggled both times against Georgia and he's also had turnovers, then Ohio State with that same energy is going to just blow past them big. I think it'll be 34-24 Ohio State, with some of those Texas points being late in the game, you know, possibly garbage time. All right, well, hey, that's it for today. If you like the show, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe for more content, and give us a review on iTunes. If you want an opinion of your own shared on the show, leave a comment or send us an email at themattbradyshow@gmail.com, and we'll see you next time.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.